Well, welcome to the front porch. With me this morning, I have a special guest, Governor Matt Bevin. Governor Bevin, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Richard. Great to be on with you.
Well, hey, it really is an honor to have you join me on my weekly program, because we often talk about you, and I promise this, it's good things that we say.
That's not often the case, I find, with at least some of the media, so I'm happy to hear that's the case with you.
Well, and I promise we will give you a fair shake. One reason why we have you on this morning is because there's some major news that's been taking place in Frankfort. In fact, we've talked about it. We've talked about the pro-life legislation. You've enacted in the very first week of the legislative session, the legislature enacted, and you signed into law two historic pieces. One was the ultrasound bill, which required abortionists to provide the ultrasound picture to the women who were having an abortion. The other bill was it banned late-term abortions. That was Senate Bill 5, and it was based on the idea that unborn babies feel pain at about 20 weeks in utero. Now, you signed those bills, and I just want to thank you personally for doing that.
You're welcome.
That was wonderful. But now we're dealing with something else. I don't know if the ink was quite dry when the Attorney General sent out a press release saying that he would not defend one of those bills, the 20-week abortion ban, otherwise known as the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. He said he flatly would not defend that law if it was challenged. He also said that the ultrasound bill he would defend. But now that's a question right now. The ACLU did file a lawsuit challenging that bill. Originally, Governor or the Attorney General Beshear said he would defend it, but that doesn't sound like it's the case. Can you tell us what's going on with that?
Sure. I mean, initially, you're right. That was what was referred to as House Bill 2. House Bill 2 was the ultrasound bill, and he did say that he would defend that. It is his job to defend it. He doesn't actually get to pick and choose by law, but he is picking and choosing nonetheless. He said he would not defend the late-term abortion bill, the 20-week ban. But he did say he would defend the ultrasound bill. He has now, last week, kind of after coming out and publicly stating he would do his job, he subtly went back in and said to the court, he filed a motion stating that he was taking no position. And so he now does not intend to defend either one of them. So not only is he being paid to do his job, but he's not doing it on either front at this point.
Yeah,
which means my office is going to have to do his job. As we have on any number of other bills, the bathroom bill, the overtime pay bill, the gender surgery bill that was going to force doctors to perform these. I had to sue on behalf of the state in every one of these instances because our attorney general will not do his job.
Yeah. I want to talk, maybe put a finer point on his action in court. When the attorney general's office appeared in court, before a judge, it was a response to the American Civil Liberties Union. They're the ones that sued, saying the ultrasound bill is somehow unconstitutional. The attorney general made a motion to dismiss the attorney general's office and the Health and Family Services from the recipient of that lawsuit. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that would take his office, so to speak, off the hook or give him no responsibility to defend that law. Is that how you understand it as well?
Depending on the judge's reaction to that, that is in essence what would be the case. He's trying to abdicate his responsibility to defend the law of Kentucky. The legislature, with over 83% of the vote, Republicans, Democrats, very bipartisan, representing the wishes of the people of Kentucky, passed these two bills a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And he is abdicating his responsibility, or in this case, asking the court to assist him in the abdication of his responsibility to defend those laws. And to me, it's unconscionable. It really is. It's also dishonorable to run for a job, to take the pay for doing a job, but then to not do the job. And it really comes down to he's buckling to those that have supported him and his party. And the pro-abortion crowd have made clear to him, apparently, that if he ever wants any help from them going forward, that he better just kind of bow away. And it's too bad. He should not be answering to those pro-abortion groups. He should be answering to the people of Kentucky.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's the people of Kentucky that elected him. He is accountable to them. Of course, he'll be on the ballot again in 3 years. But is this a new thing where attorney generals are sort of picking and choosing which laws they defend and how they're going to proceed with their job? Or is this something that has been around for a while?
Well, it seems to be the case in this state. His predecessor, Jack Conway, did the same thing as it related to the Defense of Marriage Act and the First Amendment rights of some of our county clerks and the suits associated with that. He also chose to step up or not certain things. So it seems to be something that liberals do, and it's too bad. Maybe it happens on other fronts. I'm not familiar with what happens in every single state, but it's a disturbing trend that has developed here in Kentucky with Democrat attorney generals.
I have argued, Governor, that when the state's top law enforcement officer fails to defend the duly enacted laws, that there is a breach in trust that the voters have there. They expect that the laws are executed, and that if there's a challenge to a state law, that the attorney general would defend that law. But also there's, I think, an undermining of the democratic process, because the voters obviously went to the polls back in November. We saw a huge shift from one direction into another, a much more conservative direction here in Kentucky. And laws were enacted that first week of the session. Two pro-life laws, as we're talking about right now. But now they're on the books, and we have somebody in office that's charged with defending those laws, and they're simply not doing this. Do you think that this is an undermining of the democratic process?
It currently is. As I said, it's just dishonorable, at the very least. It's disingenuous to tell people you're going to do the job, then get elected, cash the paychecks every week, but then not do the job. It's just, it's to me, it's irresponsible, and it's inappropriate. And frankly, if I were in the legislature, I would probably think about, doing something about it. The legislature has the power to rein in the authority of the attorney general. The legislature also has the responsibility to determine if they believe that a constitutional officer is or is not doing their job. And if they feel that they are not doing their job, they have the ability to do things. And whether they do or not, we'll see what comes in the weeks ahead.
Now, there are some in the institutional media who are saying that's not true, that Andy Beshear is going to defend the law. But as you pointed out earlier, that does not seem to be the case. There's a lot of talk about fake news. There's a battle right now between President Trump and the institutional media. And by that, I mean those news outlets that have been around a long time. They've got a lot of clout. They had a lot of viewerships at one time. But they've also had a credibility issue where they have not reported fairly on issues, especially when it comes to a conservative perspective or issues that conservatives are interested in. Do you think that there's a credibility issue right now with the institutional media here in Kentucky?
There's no doubt that there is. And it's unfortunate because it's all about getting eyes. I had a senior reporter who would be known to many of your listeners. So in fairness, I won't mention this person's name, who I asked one time after they had reported something that was 100% untrue, that it was easily determined to be untrue, and that this person, after I spoke with them, acknowledged they knew to be untrue. And I asked them why they would report this and run with it anyway. And he said, let me just tell you off the record, he said that it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. It's about getting eyes, as he called it, E-Y-E-S, getting eyes on it. Mm-hmm. If something can be retweeted, reposted, liked, forwarded, flagged, whatever, that's what it's about. And so more and more of the traditional media have become more and more tabloid-like. And whether it's true or whether it's not true, as long as it's sensational, as long as it gets people talking, and that's frankly what leads the charge now. And it's unfortunate, so that there is less ability to trust the veracity of anything that comes through the traditional media. And I would encourage people, do your own homework. Go to the source, because more and more of these media outlets have become very much like tabloids. It used to be just the National Enquirers that operated in this way, with an ounce of truth and several pounds of fiction. And now it's the traditional media who do the same thing.
And I think that people are figuring that out. We're seeing that people are turning to other news outlets or alternative outlets, whether it's social media or new news digital media sources. We're also seeing this reflected, Governor Bevin, with polls or surveys that have been done that show that the trust in traditional media perhaps is at an all-time low. And I'm wondering if it seems to be the case with big media here in Kentucky. And I think back to when you were first elected in the general election, much of the big media was very much against you. Their facts, I think, or their angle were questionable or not fair. And the facts, some of the facts that they shared anyway, seemed questionable. But now your office and you in particular are circumventing that, and you're getting out your message through alternative sources. What kind of response are you getting from that?
It's pretty good response. I mean, in essence, what we've been doing is simply taking our message straight to people through Facebook Live, through Twitter, through our general Facebook posts. Mm-hmm. We haven't waited to allow the traditional media to spin things in their own direction, but rather we're simply taking our message directly to people and allowing them to make their own determination. They should then do their own homework. Don't assume anything that we or any individual says as just straight up, whatever. I mean, make your own interpretation of things as best you see fit, but rather than waiting for it to be spun and then trying to spin it back to the truth, we've just taken it straight to people through social media. And even today, I put a post out on Facebook Live, and within 18 minutes, I think it had reached, scores of thousands, tens and tens mm-hmm. of thousands of people mm-hmm. in less than 20 minutes. So much more effective than any of the newspapers in the state. The Herald Leader and the Courier Journal are the two largest newspapers in the state, and they have both proven themselves to be remarkably unreliable.
And by the way, for the listeners out there, I did have a chance to get on your Facebook page and see that Facebook Live interview that you did, and you can check it out as well. Just go to the, I believe it's Governor Matt Bevin is your Facebook title, or if they just type that into the Facebook search, you'll be able to go there and scroll down, because by the time you hear this, there'll probably be several posts since then. But check it out. Go to Governor Matt Bevin's Facebook page and look at the Facebook Live interview regarding the attorney. I don't know why I want to keep saying governor. It's because there was a Governor Beshear. Now we're talking about Attorney General Andy Beshear and his refusal to defend the duly enacted pro-life legislation that you signed into law not too long ago. Now, I've got a feeling, Governor Bevin, that we're going to continue to hear about who's telling the truth. We've already seen some dueling press releases from your office and Andy Beshear's office. The media, I think, the big media, institutional media, is taking the side of Andy Beshear. At least that's what it appears at this point. Well, I want to go back to the ultrasound bill that you're making the case. You're saying that he is refusing to defend that law. He, of course, said he would right after it was challenged, but he seems to be backing away. We talked about his office filing a motion to dismiss him and the Health and Family Services Department from that lawsuit. There's also something else that happened, though, when he was in court, and the media missed this, and that was the ACLU's motion for an immediate injunction. They were trying to stop that law from going into effect. And I don't know if you want to share what Andy Beshear did, but...
Well, I mean, again, I don't want to guess as to somebody's motivations or what have you, but there was a request on the part of the Attorney General and the other ACLU, et cetera, to have a TRO, a temporary restraining order, to prevent this from going into effect, as it did when I signed it into law on January the 9th. But in order to put a TRO or a temporary restraining order, that usually has to be evidence that somebody will be irreparably harmed if, in fact, it were to be put into place. The harm that they're claiming is that it's just onerous for a doctor to have to perform an ultrasound. Well, for crying out loud, to me, it's pretty clear that any irreparable harm, literally irreparable harm, mm-hmm. would be done to the children whose lives are being taken by any inability to change the mind of somebody who would observe this ultrasound, listen to a fetal heartbeat. Again, it's important to people to understand, no one is forced to look at this. No one is forced to listen to these things. They just are now required by law to be given the opportunity to. And the doctor performing the abortion must perform an ultrasound and give that option to the mother to be able to observe this.
That's right.
That's what they were wanting to have stopped. Judge Hale, to his credit, has scheduled, but did not give the TRO, and has scheduled a full hearing for the middle of February. I think it's the 16th. So this is still being tied up in court, but in the meantime, it is the law. And so every single abortion that is provided in this state does have to, in fact, provide ultrasound and fetal heartbeat monitoring to the mother in advance of that abortion being performed. So it is the law of Kentucky until a court might say otherwise, but there's really no good legal recourse for them to say otherwise.
Sure. And just to be clear, this is an imposition on the abortionist. It's requiring the abortionist to share information with the woman who is seeking an abortion. It doesn't force her to look, as you say, or to receive that information. She could turn away from that ultrasound picture, but at the very least, she has to be offered an opportunity to look at it in the first place. And this has been a long-fought battle. This goes back at probably a dozen years where this bill has come up in the legislature, and finally, in the 2017 session, it finally passed into law.
It's important for people to understand that knowledge is power. Information is important, and we have the ability for people to be fully informed. And doctors who are truly interested in what's best for the health and safety of their patients would want their decisions to be made with fully informed knowledge. And that's all that this is doing, is allowing a patient to be more fully informed.
More fully informed, giving them all of the information, equipping them with all of the facts if they choose to adhere to them, but it's not forcing the woman to receive it. Getting back to Governor Beshear, and we're winding down here, but doggone it, there we go again. Attorney General Beshear had no objections in the courtroom when the ACLU filed a motion for that immediate injunction. And because of that, that has given the indication that he is not going to defend the law. When you do not have an objection to something, somebody else's motion to stop a law, that is giving an indication that you're really not going to defend it. Is that a fair assessment, or am I reading into something, maybe?
No, again, I mean, he's made clear that he does not intend to defend either one of these bills. He initially said that he would defend the ultrasound bill because in a statement that he put out on January 10th, he said because it was not settled law and because there was a question of constitutionality and it did need to be settled, that he would do his job and defend the law of Kentucky. It's his job to defend the law no matter his personal opinion.
That's right.
I mean, that you understand that when you come in and take the position. But he has since backtracked on that. He did say he would not defend the 20-week ban on abortion. He said in his estimation that's unconstitutional. So he's already put himself in the place of the Supreme Court because it's still unsettled law in the country. He said he would not defend the one but would defend the other. He's now saying he will not defend either. Bottom line is there was a lot of pressure on him to not defend these, and it's from the people who support him and other liberals, and I think he buckled to them rather than to the will of the people of Kentucky. That's unfortunate. It's irresponsible, and it's a slap in the face to the taxpayers of Kentucky.
Governor, if in the end he just pulls out of this altogether, what is the recourse that the people of Kentucky have?
Well, I will defend these. My office will. The office of governor will defend these, because this is the will of the people of Kentucky. And so these will be defended in court. The recourse against an attorney general who doesn't do his job is up to the House and the Senate. They have any number of options. They could curtail what an attorney general does or does not have the power to do. They could do things as it relates to budgets. They could do things that would affect staffing. They could do things as it relates to even whether or not that person continues to hold the office. The House, if they were so inclined and felt that there was reason, could impeach somebody. The Senate would then vote on that. So there are any number of options. What they might be and how they might be used is going to be up to our legislators. And if your listeners have thoughts on it, reach out to your legislator. Ask them what they think about an attorney general who chooses not to do the job but still takes the paycheck.
Well, that's good. And I've got a feeling that many of the listeners are concerned that the current attorney general is not doing his job. And they'll have an opportunity to weigh in. There is a phone number to call, and we'll be giving that out eventually, where they can call and let their voice be heard to the attorney general. I think sometimes elected politicians, elected leaders can be a little insulated from the people and forget who put them in office and be a little maybe disconnected from public opinion as well. And maybe it'd be a good thing if the people of Kentucky who are pro-life and do appreciate these laws being enacted would call the Attorney General, Andy Beshear, and let their voice be heard on that. And that's something that we will share. We'll share that number in just a little bit.
Excellent. But call their legislators as well, because the legislators are the ones that will decide what to do about this disregard for the law by our top law enforcement officer.
Okay. That's good advice. Well, Governor, I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and joining me on the front porch this morning. I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to share or maybe.
No, I just am grateful to you. I appreciate your listeners. Thank you for caring. Thank you for being the types of folks who keep at the forefront these issues that matter to us here in Kentucky and, frankly, across this nation. But we in Kentucky have the ability, like never before, to move policy, to move ideas, to move social issues and fiscal issues, the likes of which the rest of the world is watching. So keep your foot on the gas out there. Continue to keep folks in your thoughts and prayers and reach out to your legislators and challenge them to do the will of the people.
Very good. Good word from you. And Governor, please know that we will be praying for you and your administration as well. God bless you and safe travels as you continue on.
Thank you, Richard.
The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit public policy group speaking up on the bedrock issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal responsibility in Kentucky. To learn more about us or to help us in our mission, visit CommonwealthPolicyFoundation.org.